You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Friday morning. It is December 12th, 2025. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison in Studio A2. Coming up 1 hour from now, Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor and candidate for governor in 2026, will be joining us. One of seven announced Democratic candidates so far. The most recent candidate, Joel Brennan, was on our show yesterday. You can always listen back to that by subscribing to the show as a podcast over at Spotify or Apple, or listen back at the Civic Media website. And again, Mandela Barnes coming up in just an hour. But before that, we have our Week in Review panel, a modified panel of sorts. I would dare say equal to the task without Mark Jacob or Jennifer Chantel. Wait till you hear who's joining us this week. But first, it's time for our grown-up gift list text to win contest. One final day. This multi-station, multi-state game from Civic Media includes a daily prize of $200 and three grand prize winners who will choose from a brand new snowblower, portable air conditioner, stainless steel cookware. Get all the details over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You have until 8 o'clock this morning to text the keyword I'm about to give you using the Civic Media app. And then there will be more keywords, more chances for you to enter at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. And then one of those entries will be plucked for that $200 daily prize. And everybody's in the running for the grand prizes. Here's the word, polar, P-O-L-A-R, as in the big white bear. Polar, P-O-L-A-R. You have until 8 o'clock to send that our way and be eligible as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. All right. This week's panel is anchored, as always, by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, because there never seems to be any lack of lawlessness in the news to talk about these days. But we are also very happy to be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and from WCPT Radio in Chicago, Joan Esposito. Panel, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, such an esteemed group that we have here today. This is just wonderful. Let's start, Jim, with you, because again, there's always something, and that includes a couple of more setbacks for the Trump administration in court this week. One involving the attempts to persecute, I would say, not prosecute, an attorney, and another dealing with an immigrant who was mistakenly deported, and yet the Trump administration is still trying to make this guy's life a living hell. But setbacks in both cases this week, Jim.
Absolutely. So this is one of those instances where apparently three times is not a charm. A grand jury, again, just this past week or so, a couple of days ago, once again declined to indict Letitia James, the Attorney General of the State of New York, presumably on mortgage charges. And that's significant because, again, grand juries are the ones responsible for figuring out whether or not there's probable cause to believe that a proposed defendant has committed a crime. This is the second time in 2 weeks in which a grand jury in Eastern Virginia has attempted to charge, as the president describes her, his adversary, who is guilty as hell of what we don't know. And that's significant. At some point, it does become abusive to go back a third, fourth, and fifth time. There's something preventing them from doing that, but that's happening. The James Comey thing is also somewhat stymied just because of some evidentiary setbacks there. The president's folks at Department of Justice just can't seem to get that together. And then there is this big Kilmer Abrego Garcia news coming out of Maryland. That's where a judge named Paula Zinnes, we've talked about her a lot, who's been very frustrated with what she has described just a couple of days ago as the lies and the dissembling, the deception by Department of Justice lawyers. She has said enough is enough. And because the government again failed to get a removal order, that's what's needed before you can deport someone, Mr. Rodrigo Garcia this morning is released after 4 months in custody. He is still facing a criminal charge in Tennessee that's coming up for trial in January. But as of this morning, he is a free man. And yes, he's not in El Salvador. He is in the United States of America for the first time since his abrupt return 4 months ago.
Joan, this kind of overkill in the courts, raises this question, and I wonder if your callers share this sentiment that, you know, Donald Trump might have gotten a pass for going after, say, one of his political adversaries, maybe a James Comey, and people would have said, well, it's his right to bring charges. But when he brings so many different cases about so many different people, and including the undocumented immigrants, where they get all the facts wrong, they don't have probable cause. I mean, Donald Trump probably could have gotten away with a little of this, but he has so severely overplayed his hand that it feels like it's really starting to backfire with the public. Or do you disagree?
Oh, no. I think, frankly, it started to backfire as soon as that message that was supposed to be a private message to Pam Bondi was released. Hey, Pam, you're not going after my enemies fast enough. We need to speed this up. We look bad. I mean, he went on the record right then and there as saying that that's what this was, revenge and retribution. And frankly, even if it had just been one prosecution of James Comey, I still think people would have smelled the rat in that and seen it for what it was.
Kristen, let's talk about another example of overreach that was in the news this week. And that dealt with something in the legislature where Republicans were proposing a bill that they ostensibly was all about water protection, groundwater protection. But in order to trace whether there's any abortion pills in the water supply, they were going to make grieving women do something that I considered just monstrous. And they've backed off it, I think, in large part to you and others who've called attention to it. Tell us what they were doing and what they have apparently removed now from the bill.
We know how much Republicans care about clean water so deeply that they've invested in things like PFAS cleanup and getting rid of lead pipes, right? Well, right. All of a sudden they've got this new proposed legislation that abortion medication is a huge problem in our groundwater. And in order to avoid contaminating the water, women who use abortion medication would have to catch the contents that come out of their bodies, what we call the products of conception, and put them in a kit that I called a Brill bag or a Jacques in the Box, to name after the authors of this legislation, to return it to the doctor's office. You know, it is as ridiculous as it sounds. These catch kits, first of all, are shaming and humiliating and just completely inappropriate. But mostly, this is just obviously an anti-abortion bill. And I think they received so much public pressure. And this is one of the cool things about being on your show, Pat, and talking about these things. The public can make a difference here. And when we're having these conversations on social media and they sense, hey, maybe we're really off here, which clearly they were, they'll change things up. And that's exactly what happened here. One of the other authors, Nasty Nate Gustafson, removed those things, offered an amendment, and took those things out of the legislation. And that is no longer a piece of this gross anti-abortion bill.
And we've got one more piece of overreach. And Joan, it's next door to you in Indiana, where we have discovered that there is still some resemblance of a moral center within the Republican Party, maybe not in Washington, D.C., maybe not even in Madison, but at the state level, where Indiana Republicans in their state Senate voted overwhelmingly, as it turned out, more Republicans voted no than yes on a scheme to rig the Indiana maps from 7-2 Republican to 9-0 Republican. Again, just such an overreach, so obvious. And yet, Joan, I'm still a little surprised when it seems like everybody rolls over for Donald Trump, that these Indiana Republicans stood up.
Oh my God, surprise doesn't begin to capture it. Yesterday, by the end of my show, when I found out what Indiana had done, I mean, it was like waking up tomorrow and finding out that the sky was going to be permanently pink from now on. It's just Indiana stood up to Trump. Of all the states that you might have guessed might push back a little bit, Indiana, Pat?
Well, but Indiana also gave us Mike Pence. Again, a man with whom I share almost nothing in terms of political, you know, agreements, but who stood up and did not go along with the attempted coup in 2020. So whatever they're putting in the cornflakes there in Indiana appears to carry some kind of weight. But I mean, we were all surprised. This whole gerrymandering thing is going to continue. And Jim, there's nothing in the court pipeline right now that would make them reconsider the notion that political gerrymanders are, you know, equally bad. You know, we already know racially gerrymandering is bad. That's illegal. They're trying to make the case that political gerrymandering, while ugly, is not illegal. And does that remain the case? Are we still game on despite this setback for Republicans in Indiana?
It is. The Supreme Court said a number of years ago that their federal courts will no longer be in the business of overseeing and limiting political partisan gerrymandering, a stunning decision. Supreme Court says we shouldn't be involved in these kinds of political issues. They're always involved in these kinds of issues. So political gerrymandering, again, that's how the Texas folks are, at least as to now, getting away with doing those five additional Republican majority districts. That certainly is still much in the news, especially since the companion piece, whether or not racial gerrymandering is permissible. That is also, as you just indicated, Pat, on the docket, the Supreme Court considering, as we have chatted about, considering whether or not the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is constitutional. If they say it is unconstitutional, then racial gerrymandering also becomes okay. I can draw lines based upon my partisan views. I can draw lines based upon what racial group, the color of the skin, of the and heritage of the voters, which racial group I want to disenfranchise or enfranchise as I draw those lines. A stunning time in American history.
Stunning doesn't begin to capture the questions that they were weighing this week that we will still get into in terms of contribution limits to political candidates, the independence of federal agencies. It's just been a week that, again, I think pre-Trump, we never thought we'd be at a point like this, and yet we're having multiple cases like this talked about in the Supreme Court in just 1 week, in a very short span here. Before I forget, you can hear more from Jim Santel on Amicus, a Law Review. You can listen Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. across civic media stations around the state, and then Dr. Kristen Lyerly not that far afterwards, Saturday at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. Both shows replayed on Sundays. Kristen's is also on a little radio station in Chicago. Or did they keep you? Did you last more than 1 week there? I mean, because if you can make it there.
I can make it anywhere.
I guess that's, yeah.
I get to hang out with Joan. I mean, how cool is that?
I know. So Joan, you can catch her live, local, and progressive show weekday afternoons from 2 until 5. You can find links to guests, to past episodes, and to podcasts over at heartlandsignal.com. And you got up so nice and early to be with us on our show before yours. I mean, this is quality pinch hitting right here, Joan. I appreciate
that's
that
right.
Very much.
Team,
that's right. Well, Mark and Jennifer, they owe you. That's all I got to say about that. So we'll continue this discussion along the way. Plenty of things in the news for us to talk about. But first, a reminder that our keyword is polar, P-O-L-A-R. In the grown-up gift list text to win contest, you've got until 8 o'clock to send that in. And then right after 8 o'clock, we will be visiting live with former Lieutenant Governor and candidate for governor, Mandela Barnes. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It is a Friday morning, December 12th, and a reminder as always to follow what we do at Up North News by signing up for our newsletters, plural. We've got a weekday edition And we've got a Sunday morning politics edition that I work on. You can sign up for all of these at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Ellie has a story in today's edition about how to support conservation efforts across Wisconsin, which is important when you consider that Republicans in the legislature killed state funding for the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. And of course, Friday means it's our Locals Love section. Locals Love, in this case, their local supper club. And people are on there bragging about their supper clubs, the best ones in their neck of the woods. And we will review some of the responses there coming up a little bit later on in the program. But we'll continue our week in review panel here now with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and Chicago radio host Joan Esposito. And for folks that missed it in the last hour, in my conversation with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, we talked about how the United States Senate, Kristen, was once known as the world's greatest deliberative body. And that, you know, it wasn't so much about party labels. This was the place where compromises could be forged. And they are as useless now as a submarine with a screen door, as they were asked to extend the very popular Affordable Care Act premium subsidies. And even though it got 51 votes in the Senate means nothing, because they've twisted the rules in a way to make it that you got to have 60 votes to do anything. But Kristen, for Republicans crossing over and giving that measure 51 votes, I think still sends a message that Republicans better get on the ball on this issue.
I think they're starting to understand. But let's jump into the Wayback Machine and remember, it was just a short time ago when the government was shut down. And the Republicans said to the Democrats, come to the table. Then we'll negotiate with you about these ACA subsidies. And here we are with the Democrats trying to maintain these subsidies for another 3 years, not indefinitely, for another 3 years. And the Republicans coming back and saying, how about $1,000 for your HSA if you qualify? The counter argument isn't even really actually a concept of a plan. They're just flashing dollars in front of people's eyes and saying, come on, come on and take it. It's not working, guys. You have to invest in American healthcare.
Last I checked, and I'm only picking on you because you're an OBGYN, but I could pick on almost anything. But the average birth does not cost $1,000. It costs many, many multiples of that, if I'm not mistaken. I mean,
my monthly premium is nearly $1,000. $1,000 doesn't go anywhere. And by the way, you wouldn't be able to use this money for your premium. So it's a joke. The whole situation is a joke. They are so unserious about healthcare for Americans. And I think Americans are starting to see it, which is a huge opportunity for those of us who actually want Americans to have good, solid, affordable healthcare.
Joan, are they starting to see it? Are they finally figuring out that after 15 years, Republicans still have nothing other than being opposed to something that was working?
Not only have people figured it out, Republicans know. The same day the Senate voted not to extend the subsidies, Don Bacon, not known as exactly a liberal Republican, Don Bacon, the Republican congressman out of Nebraska, said that if they don't find some way to extend subsidies on at least a short-term basis, he said voters are going to take a sledgehammer to the Republican Party. Don Bacon said this on the Capitol steps yesterday morning. They know what they're doing. They know the trouble it puts them in. I really am very puzzled by this. John Thune could have gathered up a few more votes, had this thing behind him in the rearview mirror, never have to deal with it again. And yet they're giving Democrats what it might possibly be the most potent issue to use against Republicans in the last 10 years.
And by the way, Kristen, we noted this in an article yesterday in Politico, that there are probably about two dozen Republicans in the House who do want to see something in terms of extending the subsidies. But the far right members of their caucus said only if they can attach strings that would include more restrictions on abortion rights, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's always about abortion to
it's
them,
always,
isn't it?
It's always about, you know, the war on women here.
Abortion is healthcare.
Exactly. Jim, you were following, again, those big cases at the Supreme Court about, you know, whether independent agencies will even exist anymore, and removing one of the last barriers to unlimited corporate cash in our election campaigns. In both cases, these struck me as things that John Roberts for decades has wanted to do and has bided his time. And now appears he and the other conservative justices. I mean, did you hear anything at all in those two arguments to think that either case might not go the way that the far right wants them to go?
Certainly as the case on Monday, which is the Slaughter case involving the president's firing of Rebecca Slaughter, FTC. This is the Humphreys executor case. They're going to overrule probably a 90-year precedent that says, you know what, the president of the United States of America should not be able to terminate people in independent agencies. That's the way Congress set it up. Appears from the overwhelming oral argument on Monday that they're primed to say, Mr. President, go ahead and do just that. A stunning result if that happens, not only for the FTC, but all the other federal agencies. Fascinating to see what they may do with that federal agency, that independent agency called the Federal Reserve. Jerome Powell, again, the head of that right now, probably leaving in springtime, but still fascinating issue there, hugely problematic for the future of independent agencies. And then we have this other argument on Tuesday, a little less clear, questions in all directions about whether or not we should change the campaign finance laws to empower political parties to contribute directly to candidates. It all has to do with money, of course.
Let's pick up on that after the break here, Jim, because I want to get that keyword out one more time. The keyword is polar in our grown-up gift list text to win contest. You've got till 8 o'clock to text that in and be eligible for a daily prize and for grand prizes on this final day of the contest. And then when we come back, Jim will pick up on whether there's going to be any kind of limits on corporate cash and other ways to keep our politics anything but clean, sadly, in this day and age. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Welcome back. It is 7:35 on this Friday morning, December 12th. I'm Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls. Nice to have you along. I shouldn't say up here in Chippewa Falls. We got Tony listening in Ashland and other places going, you're not up north, we're up north. Oh, close enough. It's our grown-up gift list text to win contest. And no matter where we are in the state right now, we can agree the key word for this hour is polar. Because, baby, it's cold outside. P-O-L-A-R. Text that in by 8 o'clock. And be part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Your next chance to enter will be during the 9 o'clock hour during the final edition of Matinere on Air with Jane Matinere and Greg Bach. Coming up about 30 minutes from now, we'll be talking to Mandela Barnes, candidate for governor, former lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin. We'll also have Mike Clemens along, giving us a preview of the weekend in sports. Then Monday on the program, we have got former Congressman Reed Ribble talking about healthcare, and Wisconsin Eye CEO John Hankus about how Wisconsin's version of C-SPAN might go dark as early as next week unless it receives some tremendous financial support, the kind that it should be getting from our legislature, but isn't. So stick around Monday morning for all of that. Back to our Week in Review panel now with Dr. Kristen Lierley, Joan Esposito, Chicago radio host and former U.S. attorney, Jim Santel. And Jim, I interrupted you before as we were getting into Supreme Court cases of the past week, and that includes a case on campaign cash, essentially what I would call, you know, money laundering to get around limits to a candidate. You give it to the party gives it to the candidate. It all seems so crooked, and yet it seems like the justices were, you know, not unfriendly to that action. But what was your impression of the arguments?
I think that's exactly right, not unfriendly. Plainly, we've got at least three justices of the Supreme Court who are horrified by this proposed change in the law, but the others questioning kind of all across the board and certainly indicating we're not clear on where they're going to go, but certainly not suggesting that these limits are off the table, so to speak. And again, this is an effort, a Republican effort, to lift limits on how much money political parties can spend in coordination with candidates. It really has to do, Pat, with advertising in the end. It's a financial issue. And if they give the imprimatur to this, it'll enable, again, all parties, but especially, again, because of the economics of campaigns these days, the Republicans an awful lot more opportunities to buy low-cost advertising which typically the Democrats are able to get because their donors tend to come, again, lower dollar numbers directly into those candidates' campaign coffers. So interesting, kind of wonky, but very important for the future, 2026 included.
Kristen, you've run for legislature, you've run for Congress, you've seen the campaign limits. You and I have both talked to donors who, you know, have to be cautious not to exceed those limits. And then across the aisle, we have seen just a complete disregard for any kind of respect for campaign finance barriers. It just sounds like it's going to be the Wild West for the foreseeable future here.
That's my question back to Jim and actually to Joan. We've broken so many norms here. This is such an unusual time. And I think about my Gen Z kids, this is normal for them because they don't know anything different. Mm-hmm. How do we proceed in the future? At some point, we're going to get past this and we're going to be looking back and trying to pick up the pieces, but we've broken this open. So where do we go from here when it comes to campaign finance reform and all of the rest of it?
One of the answers, I think, is, of course, the obvious one, which is that in a little over 300 days or so, we're going to be electing 435 members of the House of Representatives, a third of the Senate. If you really are concerned about these things, I know all of we are, listeners are as well. You look at people, maybe not through partisan lens, but you also say, who is committed to these fundamental notions and not breaking the norms and going back to where it has been? You send people to Congress. You can stop some of this from happening. You can also do congressional fixes to things like Citizens United and all kinds of other things related to voting, all environmental issues. You can go back and revisit these legislatively. Maybe one day also getting a Supreme Court that's going to say, you know what, back in 2025 when we're doing all this, 2026, maybe not so much. And maybe we should go back and revisit it. That's a huge lift. That takes time. But again, November of next year, we elect the 120th Congress in our nation's history. Let's get it right and preserve the last bastion of democracy there in Washington, D.C.
It's all back to us to make a difference. Go ahead, Joan.
Jim, I don't know if you've been following this case, but I interviewed a lawyer who's part of the case taking place in Maine to try to get PAC money out of politics. And I said to him, I said, have you seen the Supreme Court we've got now? And he was like, no, this is different. And the way it's worded and it's going to go. And once we get PAC money out of Maine, the rest of the states are going to follow. Would be nice.
Right.
Be
nice. Would be, and they can lead that way. But of course, as we know, as we've seen here in Wisconsin, you can take an appeal from the highest court of any state and bring it into the Supreme Court. And so who knows what may happen here. Good effort, though. The lawyer is absolutely right there. By initiating this, it begins to get people thinking about ways in which, as Kristen has just said, the norms should be back in place.
Yeah. But the thing about, you know, having this much money in politics, and there's a lot of good in the governor of Illinois, but he's a billionaire. And is that what we've been reduced to, is only the billionaires can have access to campaigns and therefore to power as well, which leads to the last issue I want to go over, is that the president has unveiled a so-called gold card that would grant immigrants the ability to receive U.S. residency in record time. The cost for this gold card, $1 million for individuals, $2 million for corporations. The website, this is a government website, the Trump Gold Card is here. Unlock life in America. The website also teased a platinum card, a Trump platinum card, that would allow foreigners to be exempt from paying U.S. taxes, the fee for the platinum card at $5 million. Joan, I don't have a question.
Well, Pat, when you say the $1 million, $1 million, I mean, the grift is everywhere.
It really is. I mean, Kristen, again, like I said, we've got, you know, there are, you know, billionaires as well who donate to progressive causes. But I think one of the cores of most people involved in progressive politics is that whatever their persuasion, whatever their stripe, we as a society should not have to rely on the benevolence of billionaires to get things done in this country.
I think of the history of Wisconsin. Every time I hear about this program, I think, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, right? That is not what's happening here. That's not how my ancestors got here. That's not how we built the state of Wisconsin, the progressive state of Wisconsin. We came here because we wanted a better life for ourselves and for the people who came after us. And we worked together to make that happen. We need to return to that, that collaborative community building spirit, not this, if you got enough money, you're welcome to join the club.
I hope it is not too late. The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show can be heard Saturdays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. On Sundays, it's replayed. It's also on the air on Chicago's WCPT. You've got Amicus, a Law Review with Jim Santel, which airs Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, replayed on Sundays. And Joan Esposito, listen to her live, local, and progressive on WCPT Radio in Chicago weekday afternoons from 2 to 5. Thank you to all of you. Any of you I don't talk to in the very near future, have a good holiday season, or I'll be talking to you in the next week. Have a great weekend.
Happy holidays, friends.
Take care, everybody.
All right. Good to see you all. And now with that, let's shift gears here and continue on with our 12 Days of Community Kindness, something that we saw Giving Tuesday, and we thought, well, let's just extend that a little bit. And so we've got 12 different examples of organizations around Wisconsin that are doing good things in their community. And we'll be talking today about the Richland County Campus Foundation. This is a group that is still active following the closure of the Richland campus for UW-Platteville. And they've got quite a few different areas that they focus on. There's scholarships that support local students through the completion of either an associate's or a bachelor's degree. They also do community grants. They support community organizations and their educational efforts. And also there's the continued care and use of something called the Smart Farm in that area. They award some scholarships. And if you want to learn more about it, the web address for it is richlandccfoundation.org. Again, richlandccfoundation.org for the Richland County Campus Foundation. A little extra to tell you about as part of our 12 Days of Community Kindness. Kristen's sticking around with us here because, well, we didn't do a quiz last week, Kristen, because you recall our executive producer, Frank, was on a break, not like a relationship break. He went to Paris, you know. Yeah. So I think our weekly quiz is going to be back if I'm not mistaken.
Kristen, it's me.
Are you practicing your buzzer already? All right. Good. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that was coming up. So heads up to you. And in the meantime, let's talk to Lisa Bailing from the Richland County Campus Foundation, who joins us on the phone. Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. So we talked a little bit, just kind of gave a quick overview of it. But I'd rather hear, you know, right from you, Lisa, about, you know, what kind of work the Richland County Campus Foundation has been up to and how donations benefit your work.
So our foundation has been helping our community for over 50 years. We've been a part of the UW Richland campus all the time and supporting our local students, our community, our faculty and staff. With the closure of the campus, we've had to kind of go down a different path. Basically, our main focus is with the scholarships to our local students. We know that it is so important for them to have the ability to go to the schools that they would like to go for higher education. And it's more expensive than attending the Richland campus. And so we want to be able to support them as they journey further from our local community and in their path to higher education. With our scholarships, we also have our community grants. The community grants came around after the campus closure, due to the fact that we used to support so many educational programs directly on our campus. And now we're kind of turning that into supporting all of the different entities that are around us that are looking at doing educational programming, such as lectures or programming, swimming lessons even, helping our community just gain more and more knowledge as they, you know, grow up within our community. And then our smart farm, we inherited from Ray and May Smart several years ago, and our farm is still very vibrant and active, hosting programs out there. There's hiking trails. We had an apple picking event that we were able to support. So we still exist, even though the Richland campus has closed.
And you can learn more about it by heading to the website for the Richland County Campus Foundation. So that would be richlandccfoundation.org. Again, richlandccfoundation.org. Lisa Bailing, thank you so much for telling us all about it. It's just a great example of, for various reasons, demographic, financial, political, there are these campuses that are going through tumult and closure. And I think you guys are really showing, you know, how a community comes together and does it right when change comes to you. Thank you so much for being part of our program today.
You're welcome. We're very happy to be a part of it.
Great. Thank you, Lisa, so much. All right. Still along the way, we will be talking to former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who is a candidate for governor. And one more reminder, polar is the keyword in the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. You got till 8 o'clock to use that Civic Media app and text us the word polar. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Nice to have you back at 7:52. Again, you have, about seven more minutes to text us the word polar, P-O-L-A-R. On this final day of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest, multi-station, multi-state game from Civic Media, and another chance to play in the 9 a.m. hour. Frank Gargano is back from his little vacation and ready to administer the Week in Review quiz here, I think. Frank, are you awake? How's that jet lag working out?
It's we're adapting. We're going to play through it. It's like Jordan's flu game right now. I got to remember how this game
works. The Michael Jordan flu game. You're comparing yourself to the Michael Jordan flu game.
You know, that's Pat, great. Tough you know job what? Over here, but we'll get through it.
Every Chicago Bulls fan is throwing their shoe at you right now. How dare you, sir?
He's a Bulls fan.
I know he's a Bulls fan.
I'm like, I cannot
it.
Believe you would invoke that, but okay. That's all
like right. Like any Chicago sports fan, if you work in Michael Jordan's flu game or the 85 Bears defense into any conversation. God.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. There's a documentary about the 85, the Super Bowl shuffle that is circulating right now. It's interesting.
It's interesting.
You know what? As a Packers fan, I respect that kind choice of word.
It's good. Well, we are on radio. It's definitely worth watching and seeing how it all came together and how they shot it way before the playoffs. They were doing great. And then they actually got their butts handed to them and they had to go in and film it the next day. And a lot of the guys didn't show up. It was a whole thing. That's why it looks so weird. Like Jim McMahon did not show up for the actual filming.
God, spoiler alerts abound here. I mean, God, now you're going to tell us who won the Super Bowl that year. That's crazy. All right, Frank, you're back in the swing of things here. So you're going to quiz us on things we should have learned this week.
Yes, just a reminder, your name is your buzzer. And Parker, make sure you speak up so I can hear your name when you allegedly go first. Speaking of the mic.
Allegedly.
Here's our running tally, the scores from previous weeks. Pat is in third place with 3 whole points.
How'd I get
Parker is in second with 5, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly just in front with 6 points.
All right.
All right. Bring it moving on to question 1.
Kristen.
No. Please wait. Please wait until the question is fully asked. Martha Stewart revealed this week that she wants to be composted when she passes away. Stewart has most notably collaborated with which famous rapper?
Wait, he said you have to wait to say your name until the question has been read.
I think what he meant is he should wait until the question's actually started to be read and not just blurt out before he even starts the question, Kristen.
We all know the answer is Snoop Dogg, Pat.
We do all know the answer, but only, well, see where that got you? You got a big old goose egg on that one.
Pat needs the points, so I will let him have
charity points. I'll take the charity
point. Pat now has 4 points, Parker with 5, Kristen with 6. We are in a close race. Moving on to question number 2, the craziest sports story this week. Football coach Sherrone Moore was fired this week for having an affair with his secretary. What college was he the head coach for? Kristen.
Michigan.
It is the Michigan Wolverines without a coach. And ugly, that's all I'm going to provide story. As far as facts for that story. If you want to go down that rabbit hole.
No, thanks.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah.
You are welcome to do so. Yep. It's crazy.
How you doing with that Michigan fan, Frank?
Moving on.
Moving on. Yeah. Oh, man. Parker, we got to get through this game. Taylor Swift's latest documentary dropped today on Disney Plus, providing a look backstage for which famous
Parker.
Tour? Parker.
Hey, you heard me. Eras Tour.
It is the Eras Tour. Parker now tied with Dr. Right. Kristen Lyerly with 6 points. Did Parker anybody else go to the Eras Tour, by the way? Pat, did you go?
No, I did not.
Anybody else? Like, you went?
Hell yeah, I went.
Oh my gosh.
Do you have bracelets?
I do. I actually had to make some for my previous job.
Nice.
For the Eras Tour. Fun fact, we saw the Eras Tour the first night in Chicago, and then my wife left me on my birthday the following week to go see it again in Detroit.
Thank you for clarifying that. I was like, okay, clearly she did not like having you there. Anyway, moving on to our next question.
Question number four, Jimmy Kimmel signed a contract extension this week that will keep him hosting Late Night through 2027. What network is this show on? Pat.
ABC. I love that Parker said Pat.
It's because he said it first, so I started to just...
The power of suggestion.
It's the same
puff. You all want me to catch up with you.
And catching up you are. Pat now has 5 points with Parker and Kristen Lyerly at 6. Question number 5. Chapel Roan, Mariah Carey, and Pitbull have been confirmed to perform on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve this year. Who currently hosts New Year's Rockin' Eve? Kristen.
Ryan Seacrest.
It is Ryan Seacrest, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly retakes the lead. So after the end of today, Dr. Lyerly has 7 points, Parker has 6, and Pat catching up with 5.
Down the stretch they come. All right. I feel smarter. Look at that. You used up all your questions already, didn't you?
Look at that. Well, I've been...
Because nobody got any wrong. We didn't hear the buzzer at all. It's like we started getting smarter about these contests, or you're just so sleep-deprived you threw out the easy ones for us this week.
It was a light news week for pop culture.
I have a question for Frank.
Yeah.
In the past 20 years, how many Packer Bear matches have the Bears won?
Past 20 years? So go. Oh, man.
I don't actually know the answer. I just wanted to ask the question.
Not a lot. Actually, since we have like a minute here, right, Parker?
Yes.
Let me just say this quick little. So we were in London, Bears Packers game, and I looked at my wife and I said, there's a Bears bar.
Oh.
Like a couple miles away. Game kicks off at 9. We should go. And my wife looked at me and said, Frank, you have the rest of your life to suffer disappointment watching the Bears get beat by the Packers. Wow. You're in London. Let's enjoy the trip. And she was right.
But you could do it on different continents.
Yeah, but it's the same.
Oh, if you go to PackersEverywhere.com and plug in your location, you can find Packers bars all over the world.
Look how sweet she sounds now after coming off the top rope for Frank on that one. That was amazing.
Love you, Frank.
Love you, too.
Thank you, everybody. We have Mandela Barnes coming up next, right after the 8 o'clock news, to talk about his campaign for governor. And then Mike Lemons previews the weekend in sports. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.